heard Angel Fire, and that's in New Mexico, and we are at the resort, and we have Paul Davids here, well-known movie producer, screenwriter, and entrepreneur. And Paul, is your first annual film festival went well, and still going strong.
We're calling it the Sir Arthur Film Festival, after Arthur Conan Doyle. And Jerry, the filmmakers who are here, unfortunately, can't win an Oscar while they're here, but they can win an Arthur.
Yeah, and that's a good-looking trophy.
It's a beautiful award. Janet Saylor did such a great job of designing it. I inspired her, of course. I was deeply entrenched in research on Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who is becoming one of my new folk heroes. And I'm so sorry they're ready to tear down his house in England. If anybody in England is listening to this broadcast, save Sir Arthur's house, please. You don't need condos there.
Condemn it or something?
No, it was bought by a developer who intends to turn it into condos, and he doesn't have the support over there in England to preserve it as a historical monument, because over there he doesn't have an equal reputation to people like Jane Austen or Charles Dickens. Doesn't that take it away?
Yeah, that certainly does. It blows me away, actually.
Well, you know, he was convinced in spiritualism, which has had a black eye in the West, you know, forever. Belief in spirits and communing with the dead and seances, you know, it's all in our culture way, way out there. But there's some scientists who've been taking a really careful look at a lot of these ideas, and They're standing up, but it all gets curiouser and curiouser the deeper you look.
I was not able to get over to your presentation that I wanted to see, but Shanina Johnson, one of our producers, did, and she's still talking about it. And I have a little bit of knowledge about it because we did kind of a hint about it on the air, a little preview. And this is something new for you.
Well,
I think, isn't it?
Yes, I'm working on a film now called The Life After Death Project, which is a feature documentary which will have many parts to it. Part one is nearing completion. Why did I get into this? This is not something that I've had as a keen interest in the past. I started out as a skeptic. You know, I have a degree from Princeton in psychology. I've studied the sciences. I don't just jump into belief in different things. My interest in UFOs came about as a result of a daylight sighting in 1987. Something unambiguous before my eyes with my two kids.
Where was this sighting?
It's been discussed many times, but from my house near Pasadena. Mm-hmm. We went out on the roof of the house after my daughter called to me that there was a flying saucer. I wasn't anxious to interrupt my work for what I figured surely would be a Goodyear blimp, but, you know, she yelled at me. I had to get upstairs. She saw a flying saucer. She wasn't kidding. Well, she wasn't kidding. My life hasn't been the same since then. But let me tell you, Jerry, for those interested in ufology and flying saucers, I think most people with an interest in that subject come to feel that they're machines. You know, they're nuts and bolts, that they're... You know, it's somebody's version of a truck or a helicopter or an airplane, but it's something that most of us have never seen before. It's some other technology. All right, that's fascinating. It's mysterious. We wonder where they've come from. But now this other thing, you know, this thing about life after death, spirits, communication with people have departed. My interest in this started when something impossible happened to me on March 18th of 2009. Something impossible, and I haven't gotten over it since, but I've certainly looked into it, and I've had scientific labs working on it in Indiana and New Jersey for a year.
And we talked a little bit about that earlier, and you did this in your presentation, and it's in, I guess, in this first segment of your documentary series?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a man I was very, very close to who was paramount to my documentary, The Sci-Fi Boys, about the history of special effects and science fiction. who passed away at age 92. His name, Forrest J. Ackerman, very, very famous man in the field of science fiction. And there is a group of people that feel they've heard from him since he departed. And he had a marvelous sense of humor. Absolutely, I think, one of the greatest senses of humor since Mark Twain. You know, he was mischievous. He was a trickster. His play on words was brilliant. He could always find the joke to be made, the play on words, the pun, in anything you said. He could come up with a twist that would break you out laughing, no matter how serious you were. And so at a certain level, I think what I've been experiencing for this last year is this man's wonderful, mischievous, cosmic joke that he's taken beyond the grave. Now, I know the skeptics are going to have a field day with me on this, but I'm telling you, I'm ready to put the research of Indiana University and New Jersey University, Chem Labs, behind what I'm saying. Those guys are baffled to the core, and they've gone on record to say so.
So there's proof.
There was evidence.
Yeah.
There was evidence.
What
yeah.
You
well, Fari Ackerman was an editor, an editor of a magazine called Famous Monsters, which at its inception was a very funny magazine. I mean, it was filled with pictures of ghosts and werewolves and vampires and mummies, and it always had Fari Ackerman's hysterically funny caption underneath the pictures that, you know, that kind of softened the horror of some of those movies. So he was brilliant at that, and I've forgotten where we're going. I've lost my train of thought.
Basically, we're talking about this documentary, and you did a little presentation today that was kind of connected.
You were asking about the evidence. Oh, yeah. That was it. That Fari Ackerman, he was an editor. You know, editors spend a lot of their times taking a pen or something like that and crossing out words, right? Well, I had a document. I was alone in my house. I was reviewing this document, long document with all kinds of lists of phone calls and business meetings. It was tax time. And I put it down on my bed for 5 minutes and went into the bathroom for 5 minutes. And I was alone in my house. And when I came out, someone had edited my document. To put it simply, Someone or something unseen had crossed out 4 words on this document. And the blackout of it, that looks almost like one of these censored documents you'd get from the CIA, from the Freedom of Information Act. Yeah. You know, someone chose 4 words to block out of my document.
Yeah.
2 of them sort of blocked out, but you can read through it. But 2 of those words, which is a name, 100% blocked out. Well, it was really a baffling mystery to me. Why? Why did it happen? Who did it? What did it mean? And that has put me on a quest now that has lasted for over a year, and it's fascinating. It's opened up doors for me.
You've had this ink scientifically examined.
Yes. Yes. And not only are the chemists baffled about how it could have been done, because they can't reproduce it in the lab. They can't. I'm talking about people that are absolute experts in solvents and pigments and inks and paints. And they're on record that it's disturbing. That's one of the words that they use. It's a mystery. It's baffling. And while they were doing the research, a kind of mischievous trickster strangeness happened to each of them in their labs and in their homes while they were doing the research, some of which I happened to catch on camera while it was happening.
And when will this all be released, do you think? Before Christmas?
No, it's always hard to predict with my things when they'll be wrapped up, but I don't expect to have it in the market until next year,
okay.
2011. You know, because 2010, now I finished a movie called Before We Say Goodbye.
Yeah, and you had a big deal not far from here recently over Labor Day. Tell us about that.
Well, the Labor Day one didn't happen. What we did do, as you know, we had a sneak preview in Roswell, New Mexico.
Okay.
It's based on a stage play, and the writer of the play wanted to restage it over Labor Day, but they couldn't get it ready to put on the play. And the play was called We Are Hispanic American Women, okay? A very unusual title. We did change the title for the movie. We call the movie Before We Say Goodbye. What I loved about the story was the honesty with which it showed a small group, a family of Hispanic Americans, and all of their desires, their goals, their problems, their fears, their loves, their religious beliefs. And the Virgin of Guadalupe, that Catholic story, is at the center of this story, which is about...
And you actually were able to film here.
Oh, this was a great moment for me, Jerry, that the Basilica of the Virgin of Guadalupe in Mexico City gave permission to me personally to come there with my crew and film in the basilica where the purportedly miraculous tomb of Saint Juan Diego is, showing the Virgin of Guadalupe. It was an amazing experience to be there, and that story is really about a grandmother, a mother of four grown Hispanic American children, who has intense religious faith. She is a Catholic from the beginning. She is a Catholic till the end. She will be a Catholic to the day of her death. And for those who don't believe, she tries to be patient with them, but the Lord Jesus rules her house and rules her life, and she believes that the Virgin grants miracles. Well, I believe in miracles, Jerry, and I don't believe it matters what faith you are. Miracles will come into your life. Whether you're a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or a Jew or a Christian, miracles happen to people. Sometimes within the framework and context of their faith, with the symbols of their faith, and sometimes in ways they can't recognize. But just like all these other paranormal things we talk about, Jerry, we don't direct them. They come to us as surprises. Maybe rewards, maybe punishments.
Yeah.
But they come to us when we don't expect them. We don't direct that aspect of reality. And some of us, if you live long enough, will have these things happen. And they are marvels. They change your heart, your mind. They open the mind. And they give a new richness to life.
When Paul Davids, we've got to put another thing besides movie producer, writer. Now, we got to put philosopher. That's what you just said. It's very deep.
Thank you. I'm speaking for the heart. It's what I feel. And I've tried to let philosophy direct the choice of the movies I've made.
I've noticed that, and a lot of them are interconnected, but not at all, but they deal with subjects. And I was trying to figure out how to tie that together.
Well, most of them go in some way to the core of what are we doing here and who are we?
Right.
And we got a certain amount of time to spend on this earth, and how should we spend it? You know, what is worth our time? I chose a topic like Timothy Leary. I made the film Timothy Leary's Dead. He was an American philosopher, very underappreciated, who spent 5 years behind bars. He got into a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't know how many books of psychology and philosophy Timothy Leary has written. Now, if I told you that a bibliography of his writings, this is a list of all of his books and papers with a paragraph about each one, that takes 300 pages.
Wow.
It's a 300-page book just to describe what
he did.
It's a mammoth. So I did a biography of Timothy Leary that got me into a lot of trouble. Timothy was a trickster. He was into blowing your mind as a way to open it up. And, you know, people didn't like the ending to my movie, that Timothy was interested in having, you know, his body cryogenically preserved. Not the whole body. He didn't have the money for that. Just the head. He was going to be decapitated. That was his plan when he died. They were going to freeze his head.
Did it happen?
And, well, I show it in the movie.
Okay.
You know, it looks absolutely real. I've never said that it was real.
Okay.
I've never made that claim. But
it looks real.
Well, yeah. Maybe it is.
He's not going to admit it.
Maybe it is. But the official version is that he was cremated and his ashes were sent into space.
Okay.
But being a philosopher, Jerry, I went on from that. I made a movie about Vincent van Gogh, Starry Night, the great painter who had no end of troubles and committed suicide and never hardly earned a dime for his work. And then I did The Artist and The Shaman, And the list goes on and on. You know, the sci-fi boys. Fact, Jesus in India.
Yeah, right. Jesus in India is... we still get people talking about that.
That Jesus in India was the adventure of my lifetime. I went to India and filmed there for 6 weeks in the summer. Terribly, terribly hot. Awful monsoon rains. We managed to stay a little ahead of the rains. We were dying of the heat every day, but we went to the greatest Hindu temples and Buddhist monasteries and ancient Christian churches, and we were looking for more information about, you know, there are so many myths that Jesus was in India for a certain number of years, and the basic question is it all just legend or myth, or is there evidence underneath it? And that's what we were looking for. It was an adventure.
And you presented it very well, and you didn't overdwell on the dangers of probing.
But there were dangers.
Yes, there were.
There were. And it's really...
I mean, the people there take this pretty seriously.
Yes. I haven't been invited to have a premiere of this movie in India. I'm sorry to say. It's shown on the Sundance Channel. In the United States, it was the primetime documentary before Christmas, two years in a row on the Sundance Channel. And the film festival we were supposed to attend in India, in Goa, there were some rumblings there, and it was canceled. It was canceled. But if it had gone ahead, I would have landed in Mumbai by my plane ticket the night of the terrorist attacks in Mumbai.
Well, here again, when we talk about the directions and someone looking over us, and we're reacting to paranormal events, are not necessarily created by us, but maybe somebody's looking over you.
I do believe in this other that is looking in on us, Jerry, and I think it's a wonderful thing if your heart is given to good things and not the dark side.
Yeah, let's get back to the film festival here. This is the first annual one.
Yes.
Governor Richardson wrote you a letter.
Oh, I was so pleased with his letter, Jerry. I'm honored. I'm a fan of Bill Richardson. I'm not happy with his low poll numbers. Come on, everybody. He's made a lot of contributions.
Yeah, he's a good man.
I like the man.
I agree with you, too.
All right, so at the risk of... making a controversial political statement, I like Governor Bill Richardson, and I'm honored that he wrote us the nicest email saying he wished that he could be here, accepting the Sir Arthur Award we're giving to him, and saying that he thinks that events like this one at Angel Fire New Mexico from the Alliance for Studying Paranormal Experience, aspiefiles.org, that he feels that this is a good event for New Mexico.
Well, you probably could not have made this movie that we were talking about earlier about without the help of New Mexico. They give a lot of good breaks to filmmakers.
Yes, the movie called Before We Say Goodbye, which is not out yet, but we're working on that distribution now.
I guess you could have made it, but this made it a lot easier.
It helped. They have an incentive program for filmmakers here in New Mexico. They actually will rebate to the filmmakers as a tax rebate, 25% of the budget that you spend in New Mexico on taxable items.
Well, that includes buying a bottle of pop.
Yeah.
If you save the receipts.
Listen, if you're on the set and you're working hard as a director need a soda, you know, there you go. We save the receipts.
Tell me what you're going to do with this. You're calling it the After Death Project?
I'm calling it the Life After Death Project, yes. And I'm finishing volume one
now.
It
sounds like you're making a series of it.
Yeah, definitely. I shot 60 hours on it last year. Some of the people who are in it actually are absolutely fascinating. For example, Richard Matheson, the great science fiction writer who wrote I Am Legend, What Dreams May Come, The Incredible Shrinking Man. The name of his book that Somewhere in Time was based on was called Bid Time Return. So he's dealt with the afterlife. He's dealt with time travel. Absolutely one of the great masters of science fiction is in the film. Damien Brinkley is in the film, who was struck by lightning and dead for 28 minutes.
28 minutes.
No respiration, no heartbeat, no EKG, and lived to tell about it. He came back into his body, and he certainly believes in life after death. He says that life is continuous. No one will ever die. Damien Brinkley is there. And then I have Whitley Strieber of Communion. As a matter of fact, his wife, Ann Strieber, is one of the two executive producers.
She's involved in that project. So, yeah.
She's one of the two executive producers. One of the most interesting people in the film actually is Dr. Gary Schwartz of University of Arizona in Tucson, who teaches courses in psychiatry, psychology, and medicine, and other related fields. And for well over a decade, he has made scientific investigation of life after death his calling. He's done this by studying mediums. Now, mediums, that's one of the professions that we were talking about at the beginning of this interview. So yes. Arthur Conan Doyle believed in them, spiritualism, but that our Western society, you know, dismisses it. Dr. Gary Schwartz doesn't dismiss it. He has studied mediums scientifically. And he feels it's a talent and that some people really can do it and can bring you information from the other side that you can't see how they could possibly know it. So he's worked into the film along with so many other absolutely fascinating personalities.
This all sounds fascinating. We can't wait till it gets out.
Thank you.
It sounds to me like it might be you did a big deal with Showtime one time before. You might do something again.
You never know where these things are going to show up.
Yeah, right.
You never know what the network's like at any given moment.
That's the reason they call it showbiz, because it's changing constantly.
Yes, it always shows you a different face.
Yeah. Well, David, it's always a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask you. You have something on your calendar you want to plug or something?
Do I have something on my calendar that...
You want to plug? You got anything coming up?
Well, no, I would like people to know that before we say goodbye, they can learn a lot about at beforewesaygoodbyethemovie.com. It's got a full website. And life goes on, and we're learning, we're exploring, and we're really enjoying being here in Angel Fire for this conference of the Alliance for Studying Paranormal Experience.
Paul Davids, it's always a pleasure. I'm Jerry Pippin. We're at Angel Fire. Don't go away. I'd like to take an opportunity here to talk to you about our websites. We've been adding programs and adding programs, and sometimes it's difficult to find what you're looking for. First of all, we have a search mechanism on each of our websites, and you can click, like if it's jerrypippin.com or if ipodshows.net, just search the websites, put in the name of what you're looking for, and it will come up. Check us out, won't you? Often.